I know what you're doing. You're looking at your phone, your tablet, your watch, and you're saying, oh my, it's 10 till. No problem. Don't worry about it. I'll be done in plenty of time for the evening service. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide. Lord, speak to us from your word, I ask. In Christ's name, amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, and then hold that there. By the way, fellas, I'll be leaving a few things out of the notes this morning, so just to let you know, I'll read the first sentence and the last, and we'll be dismissed. No, I'm just kidding. I want to remind you of something. When I started this series on building the wall, it was not for political purposes. This is a statement of victory in the spiritual warfare. The walls that we are looking at are based on God's word. And in the areas that we're looking at, when you come across a situation, when you come across a temptation, when you come across a place where the word of God is being challenged, it is the wall that the word of God built in the first place that will keep you separated and secure. That's why I emphasize this. Walls separate and they secure. That is not a political statement. This we are talking about is what the Word of God does for us, what the God of the Word purchased for us. Our sins, for instance, are as far from us as the East is from the West. It's not the North from the South, because you can just go North, South, North, South, North, South. East, if you go East and your sins are in the West, you just keep going. They're not there. They're not there. God has placed them far from us. And there's a wall. It's called the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
And it has separated us from our sin. So I want to give you very, very briefly a recap of where we've been so far. The first message was entitled, Build the Wall. The wicked one, the adversaries of righteousness, and the God-haters are in the business of forcing their way and ways into places they ought not be welcome. And so you have a situation like this last week where a pastor was arrested at a public library because he sought to go in and see and give his voice when it came to drag queens reading books to little children, which is sin. And God's people better say,
amen.
It's got to be better than that, folks. We are standing in a place of dire need. We need to be soldiers of the cross. So that's why we have a situation in our world, in our land, in California, where we need walls built. By the way, I like what somebody said on Facebook. If we can run the LGBT flag up the flagpole, then we ought to, once again, be able to put the Bible in government schools and the Ten Commandments on the wall in our judiciary.
Right.
If it's open, it's open.
Right.
Second message. We need the wall of devotion or worship. God does not want worship for what worship does for God. He wants worship for what worship does for us. Then the wall of devoutness, holiness, the fact that the wages and worthlessness of sin ought to steer us to the holiness of God. Then there was the wall of discernment, right versus wrong. God's men build walls for other men. God's men build walls for their children, their sons and their daughters. All of us ought to build walls for each other in encouragement. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then there was the parenthesis that I preached, a call to the wall. The fact that, like in so many other places in Scripture, we find in the book of Nehemiah, where we started this, that God's people went through three things, and it got them to build the wall. They saw something, they heard something, they did something. And now this morning, we need to build the wall of design. To me, this message is about the most ominous that can be preached. About the most ominous, because there are things that are going on right now, where there is breaching of the walls. It took place in the Capitol this last week. It takes place in our government schools. It takes place in our government, period. And by the way, it's starting to take place in our churches and in our families. Folks, we build walls in love. But like we'll see tonight, what we do is we don't just have a wall of love. It must be built with truth. That's what Christ was full of when he came here. He was full of grace and truth. That's what we need. Our founders in this country put together a constitution that at one time, and even now in many places of the world, is the envy of the world. You know, I find it really kind of interesting. People stop and they talk about how terrible the United States is. Why do we have people pounding on the doors and begging to get in if it's that bad? I don't understand that. But here's the point. In this Constitution, when you read the Declaration, you don't read, we the elitists. We don't read, we the wealthy, we the tyrants, we the better than thou. It is, we the
people.
Never, ever forget that. Never, ever forget that. The separation of powers, the representation that we have, and the rule of law. It is, never forget this, in a representative form of government. It is not a man or a group of people that are ruling. It is the rule of law. And we have the rule of law. We have the law that is based in large part on the Word of God. Here's the challenge, though. We have the piercing of the wall. We have the wall beginning to crumble. I've been reading the book of Jeremiah in the last several days. And I feel so bad because I know it's not if, it's when, folks. Judgment is coming. It's coming. I've been reading the book of Jeremiah the last several days. And sometimes you can kind of catch what Jeremiah was saying when he's looking across the land, and especially when he goes into the Lamentations of Jeremiah, when he weeps for the land and how it was carried away because of its sin. It's coming apart. This nation is coming apart because of the rejection of God's design. So question, why should we take the time and effort to build walls of separation and security in the area of design? Well, here's one reason. The definition of design that I'm using for this: design means organization or structure of elements for a purpose or intention. Let me say that again. Design means organization or structure of elements for a purpose or intention. It is a strategy to fashion an object or a plan so that what is created will function as the Creator desired. We're going to see that starting in Genesis chapter 1. But let me say this. When it comes to the design, there is an enemy of our God's design. You have any idea who that is? Exactly. Please, once again, let's remember that. There's five areas, very briefly now, we're going to look at. Five areas of design. Formation, faith, family, freedoms, and future. Once again, Genesis chapter 1, please. Look at verse 24. God's design for our formation. And God said, verse 24, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind. Cattle, creeping thing, beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. That's called design. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That's called design. Not a creation of another creature, but taking he who was made in the image of God and he rules. That's design. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That's called design. There are not over 700 genders. There's two genders.
Yeah, right.
That isn't set out of hate. That is set out of fact, based on God's work. But it's interesting. Even if you bring up the word intelligent, the phrase intelligent design, you wind up having people that will absolutely go nuts because immediately they're saying, you're talking about God. Well, yes, we are. We are. Because the fact of the matter is, everything that we live is on the level of what God has done, not what God is coming into and trying to change for his own glory, something that came about without his help. He is the creator. You know, when it comes to evolution, gotta say this. There's a political science professor, University of Michigan. He explained something known as the Nazi philosophy. Listen carefully. When you tell a lie, tell a big one. When you tell a little one, they're less likely to believe you. Tell a big one instead and keep on telling it until they believe you. You tell it long enough. And not only that which comes from without, but the desire of the sinful flesh to embrace it from within, more and more people just start setting God aside. But the sad thing is they have started to embrace other things. And now you hear about children that are going into a panic, little children, because they're being told over and over again that we're killing our planet with climate change. We know how it's going to end, don't we?
Amen.
It isn't going to be climate change that gets the glory. It's going to be Jesus Christ and him crucified. But we wind up having over and over and over again, global warming, climate change, social justice. I'll tell you where the best justice comes. It comes from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because he alone is perfect. So there is this. There is the design of our formation. There's also the design of our point, of our faith. And just two simple points here, please. Two simple points. If you remember this, praise God. The design in our faith, the Lord comes along and he says this. Number one, you trust me alone for your salvation. Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's a simple point there. But then point number two, and this is so very important, not only the design of our faith, trusting God alone for our salvation, but also trusting God for alone for our supply. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply how much? All your need. You need encouragement? My God shall supply all your need. You need promises that'll help you through? My God shall supply all your need. I need answers to prayer? My God shall supply all your need. Over and over. I need guidance in a job, a spouse, a situation with my health. My God shall supply all your need. Our faith is designed to be not only in the best person, but also come through with the best purposes. His glory and our security in Him. So there's the design of our formation, the design of our faith. There's also the design in our family. Go to Ephesians 5, would you please? Ephesians 5. By the way, please be here Wednesday night. I'm telling you what we will hear will be an absolute blessing, my brother Davis. But this passage right here, very quickly, there's design in how we are to operate as a family. Verse 21. What's the first thing we find out? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, you know what? You do that. Listen to me. You do that. You take verse 21 and everything else will fall in place. There will be no manipulation. There will be no lording of any kind of quote unquote superiority. There will be none of that. When you come into any relationship in the fear of God, it vanishes. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. Even as Christ, listen, even as Christ is the head of the church. Does Christ manipulate and misuse and abuse his church? Are you sure? Okay. Husbands, guess what? All right, let's continue. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's called servant leadership, if you want to put a phrase to it. For the husband, take the lead in Christ, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's what Christ wants for Faith Baptist Tabernacle. But let's go back to this, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loves who? Loves himself. Chapter 6, look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents, or they're going to beat the snot out of you. No. By the way, I have never gotten a spanking that I didn't deserve. And some of you out there probably should be going, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, because at one time you were as dumb as they were, or are. I did something really stupid with my dad's pickup truck one time. Number one, you don't do stupid stuff with your dad's pickup truck. I got it stuck way back out in a field. I won't go into the detail. You don't want to hear it, and you'll be gossiping about me later on about it anyway. So I call a friend of mine. I say, Alan, get over here. I've got my dad's truck stuck. We stayed up to all kinds of time trying to get that truck unstuck. Well, my sister Bless her, sweet spirit. May she enjoy heaven right now, even with mom and dad. My sister heard my phone conversation. When I left, she went into my parents' bedroom. Tim, I went by my middle name back then. Tim's in, got stuck daddy's truck in the middle of a field in the mud. Oh boy. Came home, tried to get dad's truck out. It wouldn't come. It's the middle of the night. Dad's a plumber. We come back over to the house. I'm dying. I'm dead. That's it. Dad gets out of the truck, looks at me, stops, and he thinks, and he looks at me again, and he says, well, I did really stupid stuff when I was your age, too. And he walked into the house. And I'm alive to tell the story. Because Dad was a 6'2" Marine. Praise God. Listen, God has a design for family. Quickly, God's design for our freedoms. Hey, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Romans 6, being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. Watch this, verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Why did I read that? Because the fact of the matter is, freedom in America is based on freedom from sin.
Right.
We are not free in America to sin. We are free in America to do the right thing. We're free in America to live to the potential that God has for us. I want to just please, if I could, read that which John Adams, our second president, wrote. As no truth is more clearly taught in the volume of inspiration, not any more fully demonstrated by the experience of all ages, than that a deep sense and a due acknowledgement of the growing providence of a supreme being and of the accountableness of men to him as the searcher of hearts and righteous distributor of rewards and punishments are conducive equally to the happiness of the individual and to the well-being of communities. I have thought proper to recommend, and I hereby recommend accordingly, that Thursday, the 25th of April next, be observed throughout the United States of America as a day of, listen to this, solemn humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that the citizens on that day abstain, as far as may be, from their secular occupation, and devote the time to the sacred duties of religion, in public and in private, that they call to mind our numerous offenses against the Most High God, confess them before Him with the sincerest penitence, implore His pardoning mercy through the great Mediator and Redeemer for our past transgressions, and that through His Holy Spirit we may be disposed and enabled to yield a more suitable obedience to His righteous requisitions in time to come, that He would interpose to arrest the progress of that impiety and licentiousness in principle and practice, so offensive to Himself and so ruinous to mankind, that He would make us deeply sensible that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Listen, we have had representatives to the highest office that have said America is no longer a Christian nation. That is a lie. Watch, please. America is not a Christian nation because the majority of people here in America claim to be some kind of Christian. The fact of the matter is, when it comes to truly being born again, the majority of people in America are as hell-bound as any other person on earth. Because it's only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ and trusting Him and Him alone and not our works for salvation.
Amen.
However, our Constitution and Bill of Rights are based on the Word of God.
Right.
I don't have time to go through it now, but it's there. They are not based on Voltaire. They are not based on the Quran. They are not based on anything else except the inspired, infallible Word of God. It was a long time coming for freedom for some, but because of those who truly knew that Christ sets us free, that we wound up seeing more freedom coming to people in America. It has been a flawed time. It has been a difficult time. And by the way, it has cost people their lives. But we are still free in America. Not because somebody fought for it, but because they fought for what it's founded on. That document. And like I said, it is still, in large part, the envy of the world. There is design in our freedoms. And people today are doing everything they can to destroy that design. America needs our prayers. Amen?
Amen.
Lastly, the design for our future. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16, just briefly. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And here is God's design. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know what I love? There is not a being alive, not angel or man, that will be able to destroy that design. Amen. They can't do anything to it because it's done in the power of God. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can I leave with you just three things? There's three needs that we have and we need to do it. Number one, study to know God's design in every area of your life. In every area of other people's lives. How can I help somebody that is honestly, truly being tempted by same-sex design? How is it that I can help someone to understand how life is precious even in the womb?
Right. Right.
We need to study that. And I'm going to preach on it, by the way. But we need to study that and we need to know it. Number two, pray for those seeking to destroy God's designs in our lives. They don't know better because they don't know our Savior. What needs to happen? We need to know Him better. As we saw Wednesday night, how can we know Him better? Keep His commandments. Not for salvation, but for sanctification. Number three, pray for those upholding the testimony of God's design for marriage, for the unborn, and more. There is attack coming on God's people. Nothing surprising there. All those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That will separate some Christians. They might wind up wanting to be a little more silent when it comes to their testimony. God didn't call us to be a silent witness. Did He? God is good, folks, isn't he? This is why we need to embrace God's design in these five areas. Because Satan is busy seeking to punch holes through every one of them. Our formation, the creation. Our faith, our foundation when it comes to our freedoms, all of that. Our families, he's trying to destroy them. By the way, he might even be working on you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's stand for prayer. It's not even 20 after, and some of you are whispering under your breath, ah, praise God, he did it. By the way, can I say something before we pray? I'm glad for everybody that, you know, that got up here. To me, it was worth it. You know, I praise God for what took place in Lithuania and for Lisa and Lynn with the work that they did there with this camp, and looking forward to seeing how God uses it this next year. But boy, I tell you, to preach about what we need to be doing in this day and age, I pray that you get a passion, that you absolutely get a passion for the work that God has called you to, and he's called every one of us. Amen. Heavenly Father,